Today's resurrection story is not set in a scenery of quiet and hushed tones. Perhaps you've seen pictures of the disciples in different resurrection scenarios. This is a popular painting by Caravaggio. The disciples dramatically looking at and reaching out to touch the wounds and the scars of Jesus. However, it's not capturing the vibe that I got from the scripture story this time around. I'm thinking Scooby-Doo and the crew. Raise your hands if you're a Scooby-Doo kid. Your minds have been formed by Scooby-Doo and Shaggy and Fred and Daphne and Velma. So think Scooby-Doo as you're reflecting on today's story. Cleopas and his wife frantically banging at the locked door. You won't believe what just happened. They're panting. It's been a 5-kilometer sprint from Emmaus, and now they're trying to tell their bewildered friends what's going on, and then, poof, Jesus stands among them. And I can't imagine that their response to Jesus in that moment was, my Lord, let us reach out and touch the wound. No, I'm thinking Scooby-Doo here. What in the name of jumping Jehoshaphat is going on? Shaggy jumping into Scooby's arms, or Scooby jumping into Shaggy's arms. Maybe a disciple jumping at the table, waving a fishing knife saying, ghost! The mayhem, the screaming, Scooby-Doo going, roar! Terrified disciples, and then Jesus consoling and repeating and repeating, peace be with you. How many times do you think Jesus had to say that in the midst of that kind of scenario? It's I, myself, Jesus says. It's me. And then some comic relief. And by the way, can I stay for dinner? The disciples see and touch the hands and feet of Jesus. They're probably quivering and shaking. And how long does it take for them to calm their beating hearts and their frantic minds to get to that place of peace? And we read this great verse. If you want to underline this in your Bible today, this is the one. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. I hope you find a home in that verse. Because on any given day, in the midst of our regular lives, I would think that we are in places of joy, or disbelief, or wonder, or maybe it's all swirled together and we can't separate it. For 2 weeks, we've been proclaiming the risen Lord. The Lord has risen indeed. And yet we know that proclamation plays itself out in the real world of our lives. Our lives of wonder, our lives of disbelief, and yes, our lives of joy. And what does Jesus do when he spends time with these kind of disciples? Joyous, disbelieving, wondering? I want to name a few things from today's story. And the first is that he eats with them. It's a super practical move, is it not? He doesn't hover above them, spreading pixie dust to help them believe. He eats broiled fish with them. And when you read the Gospels, you read that Jesus loves to eat with his friends. And we're not having communion today, but I thought I would pass out some fish. Gold cracker fish, okay? And so there's a tray for the choir, and maybe Sue, you could help too. The long tray can go to the choir, and then the two square trays can start out. Why don't you start with the back row? Let's let the back row Baptist get first dibs. Now, I don't know how germy you're feeling or germ aversive. No pressure, but we have tried to lay the fish out in one layer so that you can just take one off. Both of you are starting at the back row, one on piano side, one on organ side. We're letting the back row Baptists get fed first. Oh, and we have some people in the balcony too. We'll have to get those balcony Baptists too. Jesus loves to eat. And so even as we're eating and munching these fish together, Jesus wants to be with us. Jesus loves to eat with disbelieving, wondering, and joyful disciples. What else does Jesus do? Jesus speaks to his disciples. And he doesn't speak with words of shame or disappointment. He speaks of his presence in the Word. And in this story, he talks of how he shows up in the First Testament. The prophets, the Psalms, they all come to their best and most fruitful conclusion in the person of Jesus. So again, wherever we are in our journeys of joy or disbelief, rest assured that when we hear God's word, God promises that the end purpose and fulfillment is Jesus. Like so many things in our Christian life, the final answer again is Jesus. Jesus, the author and pioneer of our faith, speaking to us so that we might put his life on display in our lives, in the life of our community. Jesus eats, Jesus speaks. And this is my favorite part with his disciples. He opens their minds. I call this the mind-blown portion of today's story. When Jesus eats and is present with us, abiding with us in communion, and even as we're munching and mulching on a fish cracker today, there's this potential for Jesus to open up our minds. For our minds and our hearts to be expanded, to understand the mystery of suffering, the power of repentance, the reconciling work of forgiveness. These followers of Jesus were learning that the way to joy and peace and humility was a way of suffering and the downward journey. And yet knowing that as they offered repentant hearts, as they took that posture of forgiveness, they found their ways to deep, lasting life. These witnesses abiding in the person and with the person and presence of Jesus. So Jesus loves to eat and speak and open up the minds of his disciples, no matter where they're at in the journey, places of joy, places of disbelief, or places of wonder. And Jesus names his disciples and us as witnesses. And if you read that verse again, not you might be, not you will be, but you are witnesses to these things. What things, Jesus? I want to give us some moments to ponder. What are we witnesses of? What things? Maybe it's even as you're munching on your fish cracker today, Or maybe you think about last week's communion and how you felt Jesus was present to you. Today, in the midst of the word being spoken and shared and prayed and sung, how is the Spirit of God opening our minds and opening our hearts that we might be witnesses? Witnesses of a spacious place. Witnesses who move with humility. Witnesses who have transformed hearts because of repentance and forgiveness. So what does that witness look like? What does it feel like? What does it act like? I'm going to give us a couple of minutes today to take this yellow sheet that you hopefully picked up with your order of service. For us at FBC, individually, maybe corporately, when we think of our lives together at the table of our Lord, or at tables with other believers, when we reflect on listening to the Word of God, or singing or praying the Word of God, how is the Spirit of Jesus opening our minds? And then what does it make us want to do or say or act as witnesses of these things? So you have this insert, and it's got a tear-off tab line, because you are going to fold that at the tear-off tab, and you're going to write that word or phrase that is percolating in your heart and your mind and your imagination. Maybe it's welcome, or maybe it's you're loved, or maybe it's the heart of God is spacious. A word or phrase that you feel you can't just keep to yourselves, that you want to witness to this day amongst your community of faith, or maybe this week as you ponder the places that you will be this week. What could be that word or that phrase that you embody as a witness of these things? And so you'll write it once on the top, you'll write it again on the bottom, and then you'll tear off that tab and you'll put the bottom piece in the offering plate as it comes around later in the service. Because we're going to gather those and we'll print them and put them in a document and share that in News and Notes. We'll put it in the bulletin board in the foyer so you can read what others are saying. And we have church council this week, so we as a leadership team will also take these words and pray with them and be encouraged by them and see if some of the things that we're dreaming of and are hoping of can bring these words to life. So it's a great way for us to bless our community of faith here. And if you're live streaming online, you could always send your word or your phrase to office@fbcedmonton.ca. And we'll add your words and phrases to this list because we know that you're a part of our community as well. The repeating motif in all the resurrection stories in the Gospel of Luke is that when Jesus' followers encounter the risen Christ through word or worship or a meal, through bread or the breaking of fish, they're transformed and they become witnesses of these things. And this good news is so good that they can't keep it to themselves. They go forth. They do. They say. They act. Just give you 10 or 12 seconds to start writing and ruminating. And maybe other thoughts will come as we continue to worship together this morning. And as we journey outward, I want us to use this closing prayer to continue to inspire us to be witnesses of these things. You might carry this with you this week, and maybe there's a phrase that resonates with you that can be, maybe it'll be your word or your phrase, if you haven't come up with one yet. Pray with me, and then together, why don't we share this prayer? Piano side, first paragraph. Organ side, second paragraph. Choir, third paragraph. Then we'll come back to piano side, organ side, choir. God bless this city and move our hearts with pity, lest we grow hard. God bless this place, silence, solitude, and space, that we may pray. God bless these days of rough and narrow ways, lest we despair. God bless the night and calm the people's fright, that we may love. God bless this land and guide us with your hand, lest we be unjust. God bless this earth through pangs, death, and birth, and make us whole.